17 is supplemental. 17, where did I go?
Living below in this sinful world, comfort I get from God's own word. Striving alone through face temptation's door, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a comfort for my soul. Needing a friend to take me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Neighbors are kind, I love them everyone. We get along in sweet accord. Finding my soul needs manna from above. Where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Where could I go? Seeking a comfort for my soul. Needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Life here is grand with friends I love so dear. Comfort I get from God's own word. Yet when I face the chilling and the death, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a comfort for my soul. Needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord?
Song after the invitation, I'm going to 58, also in supplemental. Number 58, there's the election.
Bow with me, please. Our dear, most wonderful Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name and let it be throughout all the earth. Lord, we come before you at this time this evening, thankful for the time that you provided for us, for this wonderful day that you've let us have, and for, in particular, this evening, that we might join together as brethren to have a Bible study together, to learn more of learn more of your word and how to learn from your word. And now for our short worship service here, Lord, we pray that what we do here tonight might be pleasing in your sight, that we might do that all our actions tonight would be in accordance with your word and pleasing unto you. Lord, we pray for those who are unable to be with us. We are mindful of those with physical ailments that we regularly pray for. Please be with them and please provide them strength that they might join us again. Lord, for those who aren't joining us for spiritual ailments, whether that be their own unbelief or ways of the world that have led them astray, Lord, please be with them. Grant them guidance to be able to see your light again, to be drawn back to you. Lord, please allow us to be of help in any way we can. Please put us in our situations that might be useful as to the end of letting the world be more knowledgeable about you and to bring others to your light. Lord, we pray as we go about the rest of this service that you be with the speaker this evening, that his his invitation and message might be good and useful to us. Please allow us to use all this teaching that we've had tonight and be able to apply it to our lives in a way that's most beneficial. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you would, open up your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I'd just like to spend a few minutes looking at verses 4 through 9 here in Philippians chapter 4. Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." And so, when we look at the book of Philippians, which I've would probably say is a favorite book of many people. It's a book full of joy and encouragement. And Paul here tells us, you know, some reasons that we can have peace. But is Paul at peace? Well, he seems to be, but does he have reason not to be at this time? Well, he's in prison. And if anybody had reason to worry, you might say that Paul did. It tells us in the beginning of the book that there are things that are happening, people trying to do things to hurt him. He also here in chapter 4 has to call out two women at the church in Philippi to tell them to start getting along with each other. He certainly doesn't know his own future at this time, because he's in prison and could be awaiting death. But what he did during this time in prison, he wrote an epistle about joy. And so I think in these few verses that we just read, you know, Paul really explains in just a few sentences what is the secret to victory over worry. Of course, he starts out by saying, rejoice in the Lord, and certainly that is a reason for joy, because you have the Lord. You know, just today, I was reading, you know, about some of the people down in the area affected by the hurricane, and the preacher that was writing this, he ended it by saying, God is good all the time. And so, and people say that, and they repeat that, and we know that is true, that God is good all the time. And so Paul is basically saying that. He says, rejoice in the Lord. The fact that he is in the Lord is a reason to rejoice. The fact that we have a relationship with the Lord, that you have a Savior, that you are in Him, is a reason to be glad, regardless of what your circumstances are. And so, three main points that we want to make here this evening. And the first one is in verses 6 and 7. So the secret to having peace comes from doing a few things right. And so, one of the things he addresses is right praying. And certainly, in his situation, that'd be a great thing for him to do. And that would be a great way to combat being anxious. As he says in verse 6, that do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Anxiousness is defined as being pulled in different directions, or being filled with so much care that it's to the point of distraction. And I understand that happens to us, and when Paul says to to be anxious for nothing. I think it means a lot when you think about his situation. The English root word for meaning is to strangle. That's what anxiousness means. And that makes sense, doesn't it? That it really strangles you, and it is a great thief of joy. And what do we do when someone is anxious? Well, you know, Jarell hates it when I tell her, just relax, you know, or quit worrying, you know. Well, that's real helpful, isn't it? Apparently it's not. But, you know, Paul is telling us, well, quit worrying. Well, you know, easy for you to say, Paul. Well, is it? You know, Paul tells us what to do. Don't be anxious, but do this. And he tells you, you know, three different ways to pray. He tells you to pray, you know, that's a general word that we use, you know, and, you know, it usually includes our adoration for God and the devotion that we have to Him, but also He uses the word supplication, and that is sharing your needs. But also not only doing that, but being thankful. So recognizing who God is, sharing your needs with God, and being thankful to God. And Paul tells you to do those three things. And so when you do those things, you're not going to be anxious. This is Paul's recipe for peace, is to have the right kind of praying, and it includes these things. Also, right thinking is something that Paul points out here. Right thinking. And so, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Well, you know, when I think about those things, are there other things I could be thinking about that are not in that list? Well, you know, certainly there are. You know, one of the, you know, things is when your mind is obsessed with what you shouldn't be thinking about. One author described it this way: if you sow a thought, you reap an action. If you sow an action, you reap a habit. If you sow a habit, you reap a character. And if you sow a character, you reap a destiny. You see how that goes there. So that's just saying that this bad things start happening with bad thoughts. And certainly today there's a lot of things that can capture people's imagination. You know, certainly the internet comes to mind, that people can the internet has a lot of good things on it, but there's a lot of bad things on it. And if, for example, you know, we were down at FC, and of course they're interested in attracting more students to the college and using social media to do that. And one of the points was made, well, you have to be where the kids are. You know, the kids are not on Facebook. The kids are on other types of social media like Instagram or Snapchat. And somebody mentioned TikTok. Well, that's where all the kids are. But the point was made, we're not going to be on TikTok because we don't want them to have to wade through everything else that is there to see our message. And so, you know, we don't want to promote that would be a good place for them to spend their time. We know that they are there, but that would be kind of like, everybody that we know is hanging out at the bar, so we're going to hang out at the bar all the time. You know, that wouldn't be a great thing for a Christian to do. So the wrong kind of thinking can lead you in a bad direction. So Paul is saying there's other things you can think about, things that are praiseworthy, things that are good, and things that are honorable, things that are pure, things that are lovely. And you notice the things that he leaves out there is very telling. don't think about those other things that are the opposite of these things. So if you want to have a formula for peace, if you want to know why Paul is at peace, he says you need to do the right kind of praying and you need to keep your mind pure. And peace of mind can certainly come from that. And it helps with anxiousness as well. I know that my dad told me many, many times that I crossed every bridge before I came to it. And I don't really remember worrying a whole lot as a child, but he must have thought I was. I must have been anxious about something because he kept telling me to stop crossing bridges before I got to them. One author said that 8% of what people worry about are legitimate matters. And that's and all of mine are in that 8%, right? So that leaves 92% that are either imaginary or never happen or you don't have any control over them anyway. And we spend so much time being anxious. And Psalm 119 verse 165 says, "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble." So it's kind of like, God's word is a built-in radar for detecting wrong thoughts. And so think about these things. Think about the things that are true. Well, I'm really looking forward to this study that we're going to be doing because we're going to be looking at the sermons in the book of Acts in a probably different way than we've looked at them before. And everything about them is true. We're going to look at things that are true in God's Word. Paul tells us to think about things that are noble, things that are honorable, things that are reputable, things that are just, things that are pure or not morally defiled, things that are of good report. What does that leave out? Well, maybe gossip and things that shouldn't be spread or thought about. So anything that's virtue, anything that could be defined as morally excellent. So if you can have that kind of thinking, that's certainly helpful. And finally, Paul says living, the right kind of living, right praying, right thinking, and right living. Verse 9 says, "What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Do these things, and the God of peace will be with you." So you can't really separate action from attitude. And it's one thing to learn something, and it's another thing to receive it and to do it. What's one of the things that you hear a lot when you're growing up? If I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times. What does that mean? That I've told you this over and over and you're not doing it. Haven't I shown you this before? I know you know how to do this. And so it's frustrating for a parent to repeat things over and over. And it's certainly it is something that spiritually you would think that God would get frustrated with us sometimes. And I can imagine God looking down and saying, "Randy, I can't believe you're doing this again. I can't believe you are. I've told you. You know better than this." Right living. Paul says, the things that you see in me, the things that you know to be true, you need to do these things. And so we need to obey God. And so look at what he says here. "These things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." So what happens if I'm disobedient? What happens if I'm not doing those things? Well, it's implying that you don't have peace. And don't you see people all the time that you think, they sure do need Jesus. in their life. Because their life is a mess, they're not at peace, they're frazzled, everything, they're anxious about everything. And maybe in the world's eyes, they have a lot to be anxious about. But just, and when you think about the God that we serve in His mercy upon us and what we have to look forward to, Paul is sitting in prison saying, y'all need to be at peace. And that means a lot. We talked in class tonight about context. You know, who's the speaker? Where are they at? You know, what's the situation? What's the context? Look at the context here of where Paul is and what he's telling them. The person that should be anxious, the person that should be worried, is telling other people, now you need to be at peace. And it's because he has the God of peace, and it's because he's practicing what he preaches. And we need to live by that as well. So yield our heart and our mind to God and practice right praying, practice right thinking and right living, and we'll have peace. And so I think that's a good encouragement for us as we study together. If we can help you in any way, respond to the invitation. We'd invite you to come while we stand and sing.
Let's actually sing number 251 in the regular song. Number 251, kind of incorporates the thing.
I'm happy today, oh yes, I'm happy today in Jesus Christ. I'm happy today because He's taken all my sins away, and that's why I'm happy today. I'm singing today, oh yes, I'm singing today in Jesus Christ. I'm singing today because He's taken all
with me, please. Our great God and Father who art in heaven, we come before Thee at the close of this day and this worship service and study hour that we've had, thanking You for every blessing of life that You've bestowed upon us, for every blessing that You give us from day to day, with plenty to eat, wherewithal to live, the substance that You give us, the good homes that we enjoy, all of the luxuries that we have, especially in our country and in this day and time. We pray, Father, that we'll not let these things distract us from You, but that we will use them in service, that we will consider the ease with which we move around and can accomplish the good works You've given us to do. We thank You, Father, for Your continual blessings upon us and pray that You will continue that with us as You know we have need. We're so thankful today. this evening, Father, to have continued in our Bible study about the preservation of your word and the teaching that we can learn from it about how to teach, that we continue to share your word readily and willingly and with some degree of understanding so that we grow into being better teachers as we go. We're thankful, Father, for the study that has been granted to the congregation here that we can learn these things and develop ourselves. And we're thankful, Father, very much for the lesson tonight here in our service of how to think rightly and live rightly and to be right in our prayers before you. Well, Father, your word is full of everything that we need, that we may be thoroughly furnished. We pray that you would help us to take these things into ourselves, that we will meditate on them, learn them, apply them, and use them so that we may accomplish the good works you'd have us to do and that we may be the light all to those around about us that you would have us to be. Please let it always be Jesus shining in us and through us so that they are drawn to you when they see the good works that we do, that you are glorified and that they come and bow down to you. But Father, as we have opportunity, please give us the wisdom and the courage to speak your word and to teach it and to share the gospel that has saved our souls and can save anyone else who will believe it. Father, please be with us as we depart this place, mindful of those who have not been able to be with us tonight. We are mindful that even whole families, Father, that are not here tonight, and we're not sure why, but we pray for their safety, and we pray that they may return to us again and that all will go well. We thank you for bringing back those who are sick. We thank you for Randy's recent recovery. We're so glad to see Michael and Beth back out with us tonight. And we're mindful of others, Father, who have illnesses and surgeries coming up, things that need to be done. We pray that your blessings will be on each one of them and that you'll go with us through all the walks of life, that we never leave your side, that you will always be with us as you promised, and that we will be able to know that in our lives and feel that confidence so that we are happy and that we are living and singing and praying in Jesus Christ, through whom we pray this prayer. Amen.